The stock market is very expensive. We're in a bubble about to burst. At least that's what most people are saying. So a few notable people have said that stock prices are way overvalued, starting with Jerome Powell, the Fed chair. He said recently that equity prices are fairly highly valued. And then Lisa Cook, a Fed governor, also said valuations are elevated. Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JP Morgan, said asset prices are at the top 10 or 15% of historic valuations. We've got Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, recently saying that we are in an industrial bubble. And of course, if you look at YouTube, almost every mother, father, son is using the word, you know, bubble, right? AI market bubble, lots of bubble in US tech. We've got early days of a bubble, AI bubble about to burst. History tells us this bubble in stocks will not end well. So, $1 million question. Is the stock market in a bubble? Is it overvalued? The answer is yes and no. So why? So yes, there are certain parts of the stock market that are in a bubble. They are way overpriced. Certain parts of the market. But then again, there are also some other parts of the market that are actually very, very cheap. They're very undervalued. But as a whole, I would say the market is not cheap. It is not cheap. But it's also not in a bubble. Overall, okay, so let me first talk about the overall market, why I don't think it's in a bubble, and then I'll talk about the parts that are in a bubble and the parts that are really cheap right now. So first reason, why isn't the market in a bubble? So people who say the market is very expensive, they're looking at certain metrics, like the PE ratio, and they're saying that the PE ratio is now higher than its average in the last 10, 15 years. But I've said many, many times that PE ratio can be very misleading. Why? Because whether a PE is high or low doesn't matter unless you look at the growth of the earnings. Okay, and it doesn't make sense to compare today's market PE ratio with the PE ratio 10, 20, 30 years ago. Because companies are now growing their earnings with higher profit margins, which are in fact triple the profit margins of companies 20, 30 years ago. So a more accurate way to measure the overall value of the market is to use the PEG ratio. I've said this many, many times. So the PEG ratio is actually the PE ratio divided by the growth of the earnings. That is a better comparison. And if you take the PEG ratio, where are we today? So today, the S&P 500, the PEG ratio is at 1.36, right there. Which says it is not cheap, but it's also not at the bubble territory, okay? So to give you some comparisons, you can see that the PEG ratio was in fact above 2 about 2 years ago, right? And just after COVID, the PEG ratio was above 2.4, and it was 1.7 here. It was close to 1.6 here, close to 1.5 something, right? So if you look at the PEG ratio today, it's actually lower than many times in the last couple of years. So that's why I say the market is not in a bubble, right? It's not cheap, but it's not that expensive. So don't be fooled by all these, oh, the market's in a bubble, right? And more people are beginning to compare today's market with the dot-com bubble in the year 2000. And the funny thing is that I would say more than half the people who are comparing it were too young to be in the market in 2000. Not me, right? In the year 2000, I was already in the market. I started investing in the US markets in about 1997. So yeah, I saw it firsthand. So I can tell you that this is very different from the dot-com bubble. Why? Because number one, during the dot-com bubble, the stocks that were going up like crazy, they were all these dot-com stocks that made no money. They had no profits. And anything with the dot-com name just went up purely on hype that, you know, the internet will change the world. But today, many of the companies, again, not all, but many of the companies like the hyperscalers, your Amazons, your Meta, Microsoft, your Nvidia, are they making money? Hell yeah, they're making huge amounts of free cash flow. There's huge profit margin. So it's a very different case. So let's put the dot-com bubble and the current situation side by side. So the dot-com bubble actually started with the idea of the internet, right? And that started sometime in 97, just before I entered the market. And this current moment started with the AI revolution with the launch of ChatGPT, which was back in November 2022. So you can compare this with this. Now, remember, ultimately, what makes the market to be in a bubble? What makes stocks in a bubble? Is when the price, the share price, is not supported by the earnings or the cash flow of the company. Very, very simple. Remember, the value of a business is based on how much cash it can generate, how much profits it can generate. So if the stock price goes up 100%, but the profits go up 100%, it's not expensive, right? Because the price is supported by the profits. But if the stock price goes up 100%, but there's no profits, then that's a bubble. So understand that distinction. So what you see in this dark line over here, so the dark line is the market price of tech stocks back in 2000 or leading to 2000, right? And this gray line are the earnings of the company. So see the big difference. During the dot-com boom, you can see stock prices were going up like crazy, going up like crazy, going up like crazy. But the profits that were generated by the companies were either there was no profits or the profits were very little. So this is what we call a bubble. It's kind of like profits are here, market price is here. It's like, you know, it's the market price is going way above what profits are created. So eventually what happens? It will snap and collapse. But in today's market, you can see that, yeah, the stock price, which again is in the dark brown, is going up, going up, going up, going up, going up. But it is supported by the profits. Look at that. Profits are going up, supporting the market. So it's a very different situation. And that's why I say the market is not cheap, but it's also not super expensive.
But Adam, the Fed chair said it's very expensive.
What the hell does he know? Okay. Now, by the way, that triggers some memories for me. I remember that back in 1996, December, at the time, the Fed chairman, Alan Greenspan, he said the same thing. In fact, he said, which was back in December 1996, he said that investors are undergoing a bout of irrational exuberance. So what does that mean? He's saying that the investors are crazy. The market is in a bubble. And he said that when the S&P was at 750 points. Now, what happened after he said that? The market continued to go up for the next 4 years by another 100% when it eventually topped out in February 2000 before the dot-com bust and the S&P reached 1,500 points. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the Fed chairman can say that we are expensive and the market can still go up for the next 4 years by 100%, right? So it doesn't mean we're at the top. Now, could this time be different? Of course, everything is possible, but I'm just looking at probabilities. And if you ask me, are we near the top? I don't think so. Now, another thing that you can look at would be the history of bull markets. Now, some of you may feel that this bull market has run too far and too long. Nope. Now, recall something. This bull market started in October 2022. All right? So from October 2022 to October 2025, this bull market is only 3 years old. We're only in the third year of the bull market. Now, on average, how long do bull markets last? These are, by the way, what we call cyclical bull markets, not long-term bull markets. Short-term bull markets last roughly about 5 to 6 years. That is the average. So for example, this bull market over here lasted 5 years. And this bull market over here lasted 6 years. This bull market lasted 5 years. This bull market over here lasted 11 years. And this bull market over here lasted 12 years. So bull markets can last from 5 years to 12 years. And again, in this current bull market, we are only in the third year, which tells me based on normal bull market cycles, this bull market should run another at least 2 to 3 more years, at least. Okay, could it last another 6 more years? Yes, it is possible. That's what happened in this bull market that started in December 87. Everything is possible. Now, like I said, while the whole market may not be in a bubble yet, maybe in 3-4 years it will be in a bubble, but not yet, but there are certain areas of the market that are in a freaking bubble that are really overpriced, okay? So what are these areas? Well, I've identified 5 of these areas. First are certain parts of the AI industry. Now again, people like to give a broad stroke. All AI stocks are expensive. No. There are some AI stocks that are not that expensive. For example, in my opinion, well, not my opinion, it's a fact, all right? NVIDIA is not that expensive. It is not cheap, but it's not that expensive. If you look at ASML, also not cheap, but not that expensive. Why? Because the stock price has gone up, but the profits have gone up even more than the stock price. So it is not that expensive. But there are certain AI-related stocks that are in a bubble. Why? Because the market price has gone up like crazy, but the companies are not making any money. So people are basically paying for future profits. That one day it's going to make a lot of money, but now, no money. Right? So that's what we call a bubble. So always check the fundamentals of what you are investing in or what you're trading. So again, if you look at NVIDIA, you can see that it is making a lot of money. It is very, very profitable. Take a look at that. You can see that, you know, the revenue is growing, the profits are growing, the free cash flow is growing. It's actually making a lot of money. And the intrinsic value, which is based on the discount rate of all the future cash flows, the intrinsic value is 175. And right now, the stock price is at 185. It is slightly overvalued, but it's not like super overpriced, right? So not cheap, but again, not super expensive. And ASML, same thing. If you look at ASML, again, look at the fundamentals. You can see that, again, revenue is growing like crazy and profit growing as well. Free cash flow is, you know, growing as well, right? And the intrinsic value is 948. Now, if you recall, not too long ago, I did share my video at the time the ASML was below the intrinsic value. It was cheap, but now it has gone up, right? And now it's about $1,043. So it's above the intrinsic value. So again, it is not cheap, but it's also not super expensive. But if you look at some AI stocks, which are not profitable, which I call speculative AI stocks, then yes, they are in a bubble. They are very, very overvalued. So a good example would be CoreWeave. Another one would be Nebius. If you look at CoreWeave, you can see that, again, if you look at the financials, if you don't like to look at lines, you can look at charts, right? You can see that, yeah, so revenue is growing, but the profit is negative. So it is still losing money. It's not making any money, right? It's losing money. And you can see that the intrinsic value is 115, and now it's 133, the share price. So it's also a bit expensive, right? If you look at Nebius, for example, NBIS, same thing. You can see that the intrinsic value is $49, but it's now selling at $125. So it's selling at double what it is actually worth. And you can see that it is also not profitable. It is not making any money. It's losing money. In fact, the revenue drop is not profitable. Okay. Now, so these are what I call stocks that are in a bubble. Now, having said that, would I short these stocks? No. Can you still make money from the stocks? Yes. Why? Because remember that in the short term, the market is not rational. The market is emotional. So as long as there's momentum, people are excited, these stocks can keep going up. So expensive can become even more expensive. Bubble can grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So am I saying that you can't make money with these stocks? No, you can make money. You can make money. But to make money in these stocks, you don't invest in them. You do short-term swing trading. It's a big difference, right? So the difference is that when you do swing trading, you have to watch it very carefully. You only enter the trade when there's a low-risk trade setup based on the price action. That's what we teach in our stock trading course, our swing trading course, right? And these stocks, like a one-night stand, when you enter, you got to have protection. You got to have a stop loss. And you got to have clear profit targets. So that as long as the momentum goes up, yeah, you can make money. But the moment it drops, hits the stop loss, you got to cut and get out. Why? Because these stocks that are not supported by fundamentals, eventually when they drop, they will never come back. They will never come back. So these are the ones where you have to cut loss very, very fast. These are what I call the one-night stand stocks. Okay. But on the other hand, if you look at companies like ASML, Microsoft, Nvidia, where they're supported by profits and they are not that expensive, these are what I call stocks for investing, not one-night stand. These are the stocks that we can marry. And when we invest in these stocks, we know that 3, 4, 5 years from now, they're going to be a lot higher. And yeah, the stock price could drop temporarily, but we don't need a stop loss. Or rather, I don't use a stop loss. In fact, the more they drop, the more I buy. Because I know that these stocks, when they drop, like a tennis ball, they will always bounce back up because they're supported by fundamentals. But these kind of like Nebius and CoreWeave, where there's no fundamentals yet, there's no profits, you know, they can drop and never come back. So you got to have a clear distinction between investing stocks and trading stocks. So like I said, these bubble stocks, you can still make money from it. It can still go a lot higher. And basically we enter as swing trades, right? So, but you want to enter when you see a low risk entry. So for example, if you look at a stock right now, is it on an uptrend? Yes, it is. You can see, right, wave up, wave down, wave up, wave down, wave up. And now it's on a bit of a wave down pattern. So if I was trading this, for example, I'll wait for, again, wave up, wave down, wave up, wave down, wave up. When it waves down, for example, and it finds a support, we call this a trend retracement strategy, and we've got a bullish candlestick pattern over there, guess what? We could take the trade. You can enter here and place a stop loss right below the recent swing low. Or if you want to widen the stop loss, you can even put a stop loss here, depending on how conservative you are, and you can ride it all the way up, all right? And you can, of course, take profit, risking 1 hour to make 2 hour, 3 hour. So you can make money in these bubble stocks as well. But like I said, as they go up, you have to raise your stop loss. So when they eventually burst, you got to cut loss and get out fast and take your profits and run, okay? But for like NVIDIA, ASML, Microsoft, don't need all this funny stuff. No stop loss, no profit target. Buy, close your eyes through the ups and downs. You'll be very rich in the long run. So big difference. Second industry in a bubble, quantum computing stocks. Yeah, one day will quantum computing change the world? Yes, but right now the market price has run ahead of fundamentals. Many of these quantum computing stocks are not making any money now. Will they make money in the future? Yeah, but not yet, right? So stocks like IonQ, like RGTI, they're in a bubble. But like I said, will I short it? No. Could you still make money from it? Yes. But you got to enter as a trade and not an investment, because they could drop and never come back once the bubble bursts. And when will it burst? I don't know. Who the hell knows, right? And of course, cryptocurrency stocks. Anything linked to cryptocurrency, like your Strategy, which is MSTR. Nuclear energy stocks, also running ahead of fundamentals. Your Oklo, your SMR, not making money. Price going up like crazy, can make money, but trading, not investing, be very, very clear. So again, some of you may say, Adam, I don't want to do trading, it's too stressful, I just want to invest, then stay away from these stocks. Nothing wrong, but if you want to trade it, these are the stocks to trade, right? Then again, put a stop loss, have a profit target, these are things that you can learn. Next, uranium enrichment stocks, which are again tied to the nuclear energy thingy, right? So stocks like your ticker symbol LEU, CCJ, high momentum, but bubble. Just be very careful if you're in any of these. Make sure you've got a stop loss. Make sure when the bubble bursts, when it bursts, I don't know when, you got to get out fast. Take your money and run. All right, so that's the end of part one of this video. Be sure to subscribe so you get alerted once part two is ready. And in part two, I'll be talking about which parts of the market are undervalued. Where are the hidden gems right now in the market? And I'll also talk about how do we prepare for the eventual bursting of the market bubble. It will not burst right now, but it will burst eventually. And when that happens, you can ensure that your portfolio will do well even when it bursts. So all that in part two. If you want to catch my latest videos, click on the subscribe button right now. Click on the bell so you get instant notifications once I upload my latest video. If you want to check out my online courses, go to piranhaprofits.com. We're going to learn how to invest and how to trade the financial markets and create an income from all around the world. If you want to join my live Wealth Academy program, go on to wealthacademyglobal.com and find out more about how you can learn investing and trading live online. This is Adam Koo, and may the markets be with you.